Welcome to Blazing Grace with Jason Graves and Taff Winnick. Here you'll find no condemnation, just two guys who are willing to help you discover God's grace for your life. Let's tackle today's issues. Here's Jason and Taff.
And it's time for another exciting edition of the Blazing Grace Show. This is Jason Graves with my trusty sidekick, Taff Winnick.
And hey, thanks again for that.
Well, I mean, I just figure, trusty sidekick, I don't have too many of those. And as long as you're okay with me being your trusty sidekick, then it works, you know?
Right. Yeah, you see, you're trying to balance it out now.
Yes, yes.
And it's kind of lame. It's not working.
It's the spin zone. It's not the no spin zone. It's the spin zone.
But it's good that I'm secure in my co-host hood.
Yes.
So
absolutely.
I'm okay with however this shakes out.
Absolutely. Well, speaking of shaking out, today we're going to talk about surviving the holidays. So if you're tuning in here looking for some answers on how to get through this frantic, crazy-making season we call Christmas time holidays, then you're in the right place, because we want to talk about some practical tips on how to get through family gatherings, because those are times when some of our family of origin issues can get triggered. And actually, you think about it as sort of, it's supposed to be like a relaxing time, but oftentimes these can be some of the most stressful times of the year. Plus, there's money issues with gift giving, with more and more families that have been divorced or put together, blended families. There's those issues of where do we go, who do we hang out with, who do we not. So let's explore that today.
Yeah, which partner is going to get to hang out with in-laws this Thanksgiving?
Mm-hmm.
And the whole in-law issue. Yeah.
Right. Well, I don't know about you, Taff, but I can relate with a lot of this. I mean, growing up, holidays were always pretty much a template time where we would spend some time with the family, just our primary family, my brothers and my parents. We would go to my grandmother's house on my dad's side with just my dad, my brothers. My mom would never go to my grandparents' house on that side. Instead, she would go over to our grandparents on the other side, her folks, who ironically lived no more than 2 miles down the road in our in the town of SeaTac, Washington. And so this was sort of our template. It happened the same way every year. Then we would go after Christmas at my dad's side. We'd go to my mom's and hang out with those folks. Great times, but it happens very different now that I'm married. And, we've got Susan's folks in Chicago and her mom in Arizona, and not many folks here in terms of family in Colorado Springs. So we've had to manage some of these things ourselves. What's been your general experience in those sorts of transitions?
Well, my experience has been that we just no longer wanted to do holidays with family.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we would run into some of the stuff. When you and your wife or husband are living away from family, mm-hmm. and sometimes, you live in the same town and it's just assumed that you're going to show up for the meal, because if you don't, you're written out of the family, kind of thing. But we just sort of instituted this 500-mile radius rule, mm-hmm. just because we wanted to do holidays on purpose. We wanted to do family on purpose,
right?
And be really deliberate about that. But for us, for the longest time, and I don't know if this is so much true anymore, but you don't see the effect of family on your spouse. Mm. Until you get around them and they're sort of experiencing the kryptonite of their family.
Yeah, right.
They're, maybe a husband or wife is enmeshed with their family still. And you don't really notice that when you're living, outside the 500-mile radius.
Yeah.
But you come back in for the holidays and you see the effect of your spouse's family on them.
Right.
And,
right.
And you're wondering what's going on. And so you try mm-hmm. to have a talk about that, or if mm-hmm. you speak into it at all,
right?
You get to have a really big, nasty discussion mm-hmm. in the middle of being thankful at Thanksgiving.
Right. So, principle number one, we have to get this straight, that we are when it comes to married folks, we are first and foremost committed to our spouse, okay? When we marry, we leave our family of origin behind in many respects, and our spouse becomes our first priority. So I think that that, first of all, will help a lot to get things straight, because sometimes when we're trying to, you know, play both sides of the fence, I can tell you from my own experience, there's been many times where my wife and then certain individuals in my family of origin have not exactly gotten along. And guess what? I don't care if my wife is wrong. I'm going to support her first, and I'm going to support her in that relationship. Even if she is wrong, I'm not going to go to my parents and, or whoever and just say, hey, you know what? Susan's wrong on this one. You know, that could be misinterpreted as like a siding with that's inappropriate. So there are some fine lines there. But I think if we get that straight, generally speaking, that our spouse is our first priority and our current primary family, our kids, they are our number one. That makes things a lot easier. Okay. So, moving on to, all right, how do we set boundaries with Lex Lutherish families, family members? You know, you talked about kryptonite, and, that can be very appropriate when we've got folks who maybe are, for different reasons, clinging to old ways, thinking that things should be the same as they always have, or becoming entitled or insistent. It can make things difficult. But if we think about, I like how you kind of talked about some boundaries in there, that 500-mile radius, for example. You know, boundaries don't often have to be stated. I mean, I don't know if did you go to your family, Taff, and just say, hey, everybody, we got a 500-mile radius. How did that play out?
No, and I really say that tongue-in-cheek, mm-hmm. because we've come to really love time with our family. But we've been married for 16 years.
Right.
And the first, I don't even know if I want to say how many of those, you know, we just were still figuring out mm-hmm. how our family of origin stuff was still weighing in on us.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, getting a little bit more mature and figuring those things out and talking about that just as, you know, my wife and I, you know, the 500-mile radius, that wasn't, we didn't make a rule about it.
Right. It wasn't hard and fast. In other words, there's boundaries, and then there's flexibility around those boundaries.
Right. We had to just manage, whether we were close or far, we had to manage the expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you have a lot of family living in the same place, and you come in and you have grandkids,
mm-hmm.
you know, you have the precious commodity of grandchildren.
Mm-hmm.
And so when they're divided between families, you know, everybody had, they're weighing the time. They're like, they start the clock as soon as you walk in their door, kind of
right,
thing.
Right.
And so we're having to manage that, and mm-hmm. it's certainly a lot easier now.
Mm-hmm.
But the rules that we've had have mostly had to do with, okay, no matter what we run into, we realize there's all kinds of room for we're going to see some dysfunction.
Mm-hmm.
We are the team, you and I.
Right.
You know.
Right.
And if we can hold on to that, mm-hmm. which is easier to do when you're not when you don't see your wife triggered by her dad
right.
or
right.
one of her sisters
yeah.
or you know some conversation that you have every year,
yeah,
it's easier to do that.
Yeah, right. Perfect. So I like how you talk about managing expectations. You know, we can get bent out of shape when we get multiple invites. We can get bent out of shape when we don't get any invites at all. And remember, you know, we're not entitled to be invited anywhere. Secondly, when we have to say no, that's okay and it's understandable. And that if people can't understand that, whose problem is that? Yours or theirs? You know, it's theirs. It's their problem if they can't appreciate that and be reasonable about it. The other thing I kind of want to talk about a little bit is, all right, whatever we choose, wherever we go, how can we stay balanced and boundaried in the moment? Okay, so I mean, you're sitting there at Thanksgiving dinner, and you know, somebody looks over and says, "Pass the mashed potatoes." Well, you know, that could mean a lot of things to you from years past. But you know, I think basically just dealing with things at face value, for example, maybe that just meant please pass the potatoes, and there was nothing behind it, despite the glare or what you perceive to be a, you know, a look or whatever. So I think that not reading things into stuff, and also not playing into old stuff. You know, we just because there's a pattern that starts to develop doesn't mean we have to be a part of it. You know, we can go to the other room.
Yeah, most of our families just kind of have this culture of coping, and some of them are good.
Mm-hmm.
You know, coping with stress or coping with relationships or, you know, but, you know, a lot of times if we've struggled later on in life or struggled personally with,
mm-hmm.
you know, sexual boundary issues, sexual brokenness, that kind of stuff, a lot of that came back from that arena, from the bad.
Yeah.
Sort of from that bad gravity
yeah.
that you feel when you're around them. And
yeah.
and I think it's a good idea, you know, whether you're going back home for the holidays or not, it's a good idea to sit down and actually write down, here's how I was taught to cope.
Yeah.
And if you've got that in front of you, just as a visual,
mm-hmm.
you know, when you're going back into it, you realize, okay, that's not a good script.
I'm right.
I recognize the theme mm-hmm. song here. I don't think I want to do this.
Nope. I don't want to dance to that tune anymore. That's good. Like, for example, I know from my growing up years, it was kind of a fun thing for my grandpa to do. My grandpa was pretty hilarious, you know, big jokester, clown. I mean, he had this infectious laugh, very loud and boisterous. But he loved to pick on one of my brothers around his weight and eating. It was a big thing. You know, he'd be like, hey, I'm going to enter you into an eating contest. Oh, you know, it was so funny, right?
Right.
And we all, of course, laughed with him because it was hard not to. But, you know, as an adult, if I were in that same position today, I, even if my brother wasn't able to defend himself or not because he was trapped in the cycle too, I would choose to not participate in that if my grandfather was still alive, if I was in that situation, you know. That's an example where we don't have to follow the old scripts. Another thing is, for those of us in recovery, I think we have to plan to take our recovery with us. All right.
Absolutely.
Meaning, I know, for example, we have three or four groups, teleconference groups, that meet on Thursday. Well, Thanksgiving's on Thursday every year. So for the past 4 years now, we've always done an abbreviated group on Thanksgiving. So we don't do the whole hour or hour and a half. We just do a quick half hour check-in. But that way, we're intentionally engaging ourselves in our safe recovery community, reframing our day, and we're saying, indirectly, we're saying, you know what? I'm changing. This is important to me. I'm going to make a sacrifice here, and I'm going to take time on my day to be a part of something that's helping me grow and stay balanced and grounded.
Yeah, it's like who I've become is better than who I was.
Mm, yeah.
And I want to take a couple of minutes to remember that on that day. And I absolutely leave my Thursday group open for whoever dials in.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you how many, just how many brothers I've talked to who will say that, you know, holiday, the day of the holiday, they will end up stumbling, having mm-hmm. to do a reset date on their
right.
integrity or,
right.
or acting out or
mm-hmm.
something will inevitably happen because they're just, there's all this emotional expectation in them.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there's a little tension with spouse.
Right.
You know, you all of a sudden you feel like you're, you know, you can be 40 and in your marriage
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
you get back around your family around the same table and you're 16 again.
Yeah. Yeah, it's amazing how close 40 and 14 can be with
right.
a little change of scenery.
Right, exactly.
Yeah, okay.